You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. You might say Wall Street's Capitol Hill credit card got declined yesterday. Do you care?
Yes, my name is George Golub. It's Tuesday, and I'm calling from New York City. The reaction all over the country to the failed bailout is perhaps the right one. It was never explained to the people how it was going to help the people.
Have you been declined in asking for money? Wall Street didn't get its $700 billion, but what are your stories of being declined? The credit markets, we're told, are frozen. Tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
There are certainly other things going on this week. While those questions about leadership are plaguing the U.S. Capitol this week, environmental advocates say a group of 10 states are showing great leadership in tackling global warming. It's a coalition called the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, formed without any input from the federal government. And the idea is to reduce emissions, which is a trend. This idea of regional coalitions is a trend spreading across the country. David Biello, an associate editor at Scientific American, joins us now with more. Good morning, David, and welcome.
Good morning to you.
Explain to us the cap and trade greenhouse gas reduction program.
Well, these are so-called market-based mechanisms, which basically address the problem by setting an overall cap and then giving allowances to polluters to meet said cap, and they can reduce their emissions by trading the allowances amongst themselves. That allows them to do it in the lowest cost way.
So it's basically like trading chips, and it certainly creates incentives not only for polluters, but for anyone who's concerned about emissions, right?
That's right. Pretty much anybody can participate, which is the good thing, I guess, about a free market. If you want to try to help reduce our CO2 emissions, you can go on and buy an allowance and just hold on to it, and that will remove that one ton of CO2 emissions from the wider market and mean that coal-fired power plants in the Northeast region won't be enabled to emit that ton.
The 10 states involved include Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New Hampshire, New York, Rhode Island, and Vermont. The cap, it sounds like a big number, 188 million tons is the allowance for each polluter. Can you explain that, and will that number change at all?
That number will change. In fact, it already has. It's based on an estimate from 2005 of what emissions would be like over the next 10 years. So the goal of this program is to reduce emissions 10% below what they would otherwise be by 2019. And unfortunately for the planners of this market, emissions haven't grown as fast as they were expecting. So the cap, which is 188 million tons, as you mentioned, is actually a little bit higher than actual emissions at present. So it won't be, at least as of today, bringing down emissions too strongly.
Well, David, one of the issues on the cap and trade program is that the program really depends on this market setting a price, a real price for carbon emissions. First of all, what is the price based on the early trading now? And secondly, how close is that price of a ton of carbon to what you believe scientifically is the actual cost to the environment of that emission?
Well, to answer the second part first, it's probably nowhere near the actual embedded cost to the environment of emitting a ton of CO2. We are, by most estimates, way ahead of where we want to be as far as restraining those emissions. We're ahead of the UN Intergovernmental Panel's on Climate Change projections, worst-case scenario projections, for where we would be at this point. And they made those projections just last year, and we're already ahead of them. But the price as of today is $3.07. That's $3 more than a ton of carbon dioxide cost in this country even last week. It's not anywhere near what Europeans are paying for carbon, which is, I believe, the last time I checked, roughly $38.
Oh, wow. And
that's because that's more of a strenuous market. As I mentioned, the cap here isn't quite as tough as people expected it to be because thanks to various financial crises and economic downturns, growth hasn't been what was kind of anticipated back in 2005 when this cap was set.
And so what are some of the lessons that have, as you just mentioned one, but what are some of the other lessons that you've learned in this early experimentation or those who are involved in the cap and trading?
Well, what's most interesting, I think, about Reggie, as it's affectionately known, is that this is the first attempt to actually auction off these allowances. So in the past, governments who set up these markets had simply given to power plant owners the right to pollute. So let's say you emitted 30 tons of CO2 from your power plant, you would be given 30 allowances by the government and then attempt to address your emissions. Instead of doing that, Reggie is auctioning off a portion of those allowances and putting the proceeds from that auction, which came to about $38 million towards renewable energy and energy efficiency programs. So it's kind of a win-win as far as CO2 goes. You're reducing emissions from the actual coal-fired power plants, mm-hmm. and you're also funding programs that will reduce energy demand and therefore carbon dioxide emissions.
Well, David Biello, thanks so much for explaining this experiment in motion.
Thank you very much.
David Biello is an associate editor at Scientific American, which focuses on energy and the environment.